You have questions about Connecticut personal injury law? Then you've found your podcast. Connecticut personal injury attorney Ryan McKean keeps it real. Straight talk, live from Glastonbury, Connecticut. This is Ryan McKean.
Hi, everybody. It's Connecticut personal injury attorney Ryan McKean. And today I'm here with the man that many consider to be the best criminal defense DUI lawyer in the state of Connecticut, Jay Ruane.
Hey, Ryan, thanks for having me on here today. I'm really excited to talk to you.
Jay, thanks for coming on. And I mean, we're going to talk about something very important today, which, you know, we're coming into summer, Memorial Day weekend, which are the consequences of a DUI. Now, look, I see DUIs on the civil side because I'm usually suing people who drink and drive and hurt someone. And that happens often. Those are big injury cases. So, you know, because usually the driver is going at a high rate of speed, causing a significant injury. But today we're going to talk, you know, many people may not know of some of the criminal consequences, and they may not know of some of like the collateral consequences. So can you talk, you know, say you've never gotten a DUI before, what happens?
So really, whenever anybody gets a DUI, you wind up not with one case, but two cases. And that's really the first eye opener to people. Whenever you get a DUI, the first thing that happens is that there is an automatic suspension of your driver's license. And yes, it happens immediately at the police station. You gotta, you know, you have 24 hours before your license is restored. But then 30 days later, you're looking at a 45-day period without your driver's license. And that 45 days is significant because not many people can afford to take 6 weeks or a little over 6 weeks away from their life, away from getting to work, getting their kids around. And so the immediate impact really is going to be on your ability to even just get around when you get a DUI case. And then on top of that, you're going to wind up having to go to court and deal with the consequences of having a misdemeanor charge. I mean, these are the types of things that when you get a DUI, it could be on your record forever. That's why we defend them very vigorously here in our office, because having that ding on your driving history and on your record can have some significant lifetime consequences for auto insurance increases, credit history decreases, those types of things.
So, I mean, very, very out of the box. Initially, you're losing your license. So you may have to pay for an Uber or your, you know, spouse or parent or child or somebody close to you, friend may have to drive you around. You're going to face court charges. Are there fines associated with the court charges?
Yeah, for a first offense DUI, the maximum fine is $1,000. And I'll tell you, I've started to see some judges imposing maximum fines rather than the minimum of $500 because the state needs revenue. I mean, that's one of the problems we have now is that the state is hurting for revenue. They're looking to find ways to generate more income for the state. And in addition, you know, we talked a little bit about the driver's license suspension and you having to pay for Ubers for 6 weeks. But on that back end, it's not a freebie. You're going to have to pay $175 just to get your driver's license back. And then when you get it back, you're going to have to pay a couple hundred dollars to install an ignition interlock device in your car. And then that itself is going to cost you a couple bucks a day, you know, $3-$4 a day, depending on your provider. So we're talking all in thousands of dollars that you could wind up having to pay out if you get even your first DUI. And that's before you even get any sort of finding of guilt. Because what happens with a DUI in that first DMV case is that you're actually guilty until your lawyer proves you innocent. So unless you fight it, you're definitely paying all of those additional expenses. That's why what we find is by fighting these cases, we can find ways to win and save people hundreds or thousands of dollars.
And sort of what is the, I know eventually you can lose your license permanently, but even on like a first time, somebody who maybe has never gone through this, what is the maximum amount of time they can administratively suspend your license?
So for a very first time, you're going to get that 45-day, what we call a hard suspension, right? And then after that, it can be up to a year with an ignition interlock device in your car. So you'll be blowing into a machine in your car every day for a year. So figure that cost you $3 and you got it in for a year. You're over well over $1,000 just on that cost alone. And the headaches of having to have it calibrated every month, and that costs money. And then if there's a problem with the machine, getting it fixed, that costs money. It's a downward sort of spiral. Once you get that DUI, you wind up spending a lot of time engaging with the DMV for the next years to come.
And now some people may be able to apply for the alcohol education program. What are some of the costs and time costs, associated with that?
So the alcohol education program is one way if you don't find other ways to resolve your case. It's a way to apply for a program to do some alcohol counseling and get the case against you dismissed. Now, it doesn't have any impact on the DMV side. And they really are, what I tell people, it's like a train track, right? They leave from the same station. They both arise from the DUI arrest, but they never really interact with each other. So they're riding side by side. And with the alcohol education program, you can still be on the hook for hundreds of dollars of alcohol classes that you would have to take. And with that, it could be going to meetings once a week for 10 or 15 weeks, inpatient programs, intensive outpatient programs. It really depends on your physiological and health needs based on a screen that they give to you. But you could wind up doing those things over months, taking away from your life. If you've got, a Wednesday night where you've got to do every Wednesday night for 15 weeks in a row, that's going to eat up almost 4 months of your Wednesday nights. And if you miss any more than one meeting, you fail out. Who knows what can happen to you over 4 months. So it's a pretty big commitment that you have to make if you're going to do that to resolve your case.
Yeah, I've known that commitment is so burdensome on people that I've known that they've even chosen to drive up to like New Hampshire, get like a hotel room and spend a whole weekend in classes, 8 hour classes each day just to satisfy this kind of requirement. And obviously that's a significant expense.
It's a huge expense. And here's the crazy thing about that. When you get done with that weekend program, I know a lot of people opt for that because New Hampshire is somewhat close and they figure, oh, it'll be easy. I'll go and I'll do this weekend program. That weekend program always tells you need follow-up care. So you wind up coming back to Connecticut, getting a letter from them a couple of days later saying, yeah, you need more care. And then the courthouse here says, hey, you got to do your local meetings anyway and go do some. So it's really a boondoggle that they have up in New Hampshire where you think you're going to go and knock this out in a weekend. And then you come home to find out, oh, wait, I still have to do stuff locally in Connecticut. Why did I just go waste all that time and effort up there? So it's not necessarily as easy as somebody would think.
And, I think, one of the things, too, is can I know. Look, I live in Northern Connecticut and we're close to the Massachusetts border. I drive home and the personal injury billboards are gone on my way home on 91 North. And they're all edibles and marijuana right over the border. Can somebody get a DUI for, say consuming edibles?
Oh, absolutely. And that's actually one of the most actively growing portions of our practice. And the thing that's interesting about it is we really don't have any scientific way to test for someone being under the influence of THC at the time they are pulled over. So what they do is they actually take a urine sample from them in the custody of the police department. And the problem with that urine sample is that it's historical. It doesn't tell you what's actively in a person's body at that time. It tells you what was in that person's body at a prior point in time. Easiest way for me to describe it to your audience is we go up to New Hampshire and we go to a cabin up there, open up the door, walk over to the fireplace, and we see ashes in the fireplace. Now, the ashes in the fireplace will tell me that at some point prior, there was a fire in the fireplace, but it doesn't tell me what type of wood was burned, how hot it got, how big the fire was, how long the fire burned. Doesn't tell me any of that data, just that a fire existed. Well, that's what the markers we find in urine for THC consumption are like. It tells us that something existed, but it doesn't tell us how impacted the person was. And so a lot of states now are what they're doing is they're saying zero tolerance for anything in your system. But you could be perfectly fine after eating an edible and 2 days later still test positive. And that can be a DUI under the influence of marijuana when you're not actually feeling the effects and the burden becomes on you to defend yourself and prove your innocence.
Many, many moons ago, when I was in law school, I was a certified legal intern in GA7 down in Meriden. And I would go in and I would see people who, you know, had picked up DUIs and whatnot. But there was long lines at the court. These people had to take oftentimes a whole day off from work because there was no guarantee a judge was going to take the bench, that their case was going to get called early. Does that still happen in Connecticut?
It does. Actually, it's interesting. You know, I was in court in Stamford just the other day. You know, I got to court there at 9 o'clock. Judge didn't come on the bench until 10:30. My client's case wasn't called until 11:15. And then they had to pass it. And we didn't wind up getting out of there until 1 o'clock. And that was only because he had me pushing them to call the case. But luckily, we are able to do some stuff now when we're involved in the case. For example, I have a client who has a DUI case that's pending in Stamford tomorrow, and he lives in Nevada. So I've arranged so that he can not have to fly in, do everything remotely, and I'll be there for him, and he'll be on video, and we have a set time that's going to go off. But that's only because he had me to be able to coordinate that with the number of different parties at the courthouse and actually ask the judge to make that happen. If you're on your own, they're never going to do that for you. They're just going to tell you, show up, sit around, wait till we get to you.
Wow. So, I mean, from what I'm hearing and just doing some basic math in my head, if you get a DUI without even hiring a lawyer, which is something you should absolutely do, you should absolutely get the best DUI attorney in the state of Connecticut on your side, because there's many times where the police officers, you know, they make technical errors, they don't do things right, there are flaws in breathalyzer machines. So you need somebody like you. I mean, you've gone through special breathalyzer training, you've taken the course that the police have taken to really know the ins and outs of this, because it sounds like to me, like you're looking at $10,000 to $15,000, maybe even $20,000 in cost and time just on a first DUI, you know, out of pocket and in time. Is that about right?
Oh, that's absolutely. I mean, with a first DUI, if you take that driver's license suspension on your chin and you say, oh, I can last 6 weeks without it, you know, wait 3 more months until you get your auto insurance increase and it's quadrupled or quintupled. And now you're looking at 7 years paying 5 times what you would have paid on your car insurance. I mean, that's just one of the reasons why a lot of people choose to fight their case. It's an investment in saving money down the line. And then, of course, you get the benefit of having a lawyer who can sort of help you through the court stuff, identify the problem areas. Because if you're representing yourself, there's no negotiation with the state. They'll tell you, here's your offer, take it or leave it. Now, if I'm representing you, I can go in and say, here's the problems with the case. And they know if I'm saying there's a problem with the case, there probably is. If you're a person that they don't know, who has no training in law or science that comes with DUI, and you go in and try to tell a prosecutor, well, there's a problem with your case, they're going to look at you like you got 3 heads, because they're going to say, who are you to say anything? You're just Joe Schmo, the DUI arrestee. It comes from me. It has a lot more gravitas.
Yeah, there's no question that it's a minefield. And I know from my short time in the criminal courts that, you know, there's no question you really want the best DUI lawyer by your side in this. And not to mention, I mean, I don't do any criminal defense, and you know, I do civil work. And What people don't realize, if they crash into somebody and somebody gets hurt in a DUI, which we see a lot of, I mean, in our office, you know, we internally assess that probably 30 to 40% of our cases involve alcohol in some way. And what people don't realize is that alcohol, driving under the influence, is under Connecticut law per se reckless, which means by law, it is reckless driving civilly. And any judgment is two or three times the amount of the actual award of damages that somebody suffers. And that's not covered by insurance.
Yeah.
The insurance cannot by law indemnify for recklessness. And so somebody is personally exposed. And so, I mean, we've had cases where we've frozen people's bank accounts. It's not something we want to do, but sometimes our clients are catastrophically injured and there's no other choice. So, I mean, I think that my takeaways from this are, one, you know, don't drink and drive. Two, if you're in this situation, you know, you got to listen to this, listen to what was said here, understand the situation that you're in. And, you know, you really need a great lawyer by your side. And, you know, you also don't want to be getting papers from me and dealing with your insurance company either. So, you know, stay safe this summer, stay safe this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, and don't drink and drive. But, you know, that's why we're putting this out there so people can, you know, really understand when they're at that picnic and they're making that decision, you know, do I call an Uber? Do I designate a driver? Do I do these things? The consequences, because Jay, there are going to be people out there this weekend. You and I both know we're going to get calls. I'm going to get calls. People hurt. You're going to get calls. You know, people who are being kept overnight in police stations. So it's going to happen. And you know, stay safe out there. Jay, thank you so much for your time. What's the best way for someone to reach you?
Best way is just visit our website. We're RuaneAttorneys.com. Or you can call 888-DUI-HOPE. That's 888-384-5763 is our phone number. So 888-DUI-HOPE or visit us online at RuaneAttorneys.com.
Great. And Jay, we're going to put all that information down in the description, wherever this is, YouTube, Facebook, so people can find you if unfortunately they need you or a loved one. You know, this happened to their spouse or something, picked up a DUI. So, Jay, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Ryan. Take it easy.
You've been listening to Connecticut personal injury attorney Ryan McKean, giving you straight talk and answering your questions about Connecticut personal injury law. It's serious stuff. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from this show, and we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find Ryan on Twitter at Ryan McKean, on Facebook at CT Trial Firm, on LinkedIn at Ryan McKean, and on Instagram at CT Injury Lawyer. Till next time.